Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Yeah,
look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, hilarious comedian. His first comedy special, Shelf Life, just recently debuted in 2022. You can find it on Amazon Prime. He hosts a comedy interview podcast called The Downside with Gianmarco Soresi. He has acted in the film Hustlers, The Show of the Last OG, and Blue Bloods. Please welcome Gianmarco Soresi.
Hello. Buongiorno. How are you?
Did I mess anything up there? Because you were giving me a quizzical look while I was doing your intro.
Oh, no. The special came out like a long time ago, and it's, you know, sometimes you hear a credit and you're like, oh boy, I'm still using this credit. I gotta do something else. I gotta make something.
I mean, 2022 isn't that long ago.
It's fine. It technically came out even before that, but it was re-released. You know how it is. I'm gonna do a re-release. I'm gonna do a farewell tour of the Shelf Life special. Who the fuck knows? But new stuff coming soon.
Before we get into all that, let us get into your fridge. You guys can see Gianmarco's fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. And here we go.
It's really intimate in a very different kind of way.
Oh, it's your underwear drawer right here.
I think I'd rather you see like my nightstand.
Look, your fridge is not bad. It's super stacked. Better that it's super stacked than super not stacked. But I will say with comedians, it's one way or the other. Either there's nothing in there because they've been on the road all the time, or because they're poor, or it's stacked because they aren't on the road enough, or they're doing really well and they just have someone stacking their fridge for them.
I think I got a little mix in there. I got a lady who, even though I'm on the road, she's at home and keeping it packed.
Okay, got it.
A lot of that is me, to be fair. A lot of that is me. Now, you caught just a brief moment. There's a Walgreens pharmacy bag there. This was the beginning. My girlfriend just had her eggs frozen. So for a while, this is the beginning. It ended up being a lot more of medication that needed to be cold. And we basically had to clear one of our two little countertops to make like a little shot station with that red trash can for needles and all the medications, and there was a lot of different things going on.
I'm gonna go ahead and apologize to your girlfriend right now if she's listening. This is something that Gianmarco should have probably taken out of the fridge. Probably keep your privacy to yourself. Your name is literally there, Tova. I see it.
Oh my God.
This is a bad boyfriend. You should have checked this. Did you check with her before saying, hey, I'm going to talk about the state of your fertility on a very popular food podcast? I don't know how we feel about that.
Well, the procedure happened yesterday. It was good. I took a picture of our post-op meal, and I said, should I say surgery? She said yes, and I said, okay, then we can talk about it till the cows come home.
Wow.
So you know, I'm working on my onstage chunks. I'm working on everything, but I have a pretty good sense of what bothers her and what doesn't. I talk a lot. I say a lot. I'm pretty forthcoming.
Yeah, so, I just love that, you know, as comics, we usually, it's our life experience that we put on the stage. But no, you're like, honey, I know you're going through some shit. And guess what? The people need to hear about it.
You know what's down right below that, though? Those little boxes, the red and the orange, that is some shrooms chocolate. That is shrooms chocolate for a glamping trip we're going to take in October.
The shroom chocolate is... is like the must-have accessory of the summer.
Yeah, you know, I did it for the first time last year, and I was anxious. Ended up really digging it, but you know, I was waiting at least 6 months to get back. So we got a lot in there. That's enough for a couple friends to join us.
These look like nice shrooms because the packaging is like very slick. It's very nice. Like the shroom chocolates that I've had come from like packaging that was like printed on like a dot matrix printer in like the 90s.
I can't tell when they, because listen, the guy who gave it to us, he wasn't in like a nice package. It came out of a cooler. He was not very friendly. He did not want to answer any questions. I'm sure he gets this a lot. He shows up. This was at least the first time, and we're like, so how much do you think we should take for our first? And he's like, I don't know. Can you Google this shit? Like, he doesn't want to be involved in our journey.
Yeah, he's had it up to here with the journey people. He's, you know, are you a microdoser or a macrodoser?
We did for the first time, I believe 1.6. Maybe two, which
someone... Oh, you're throwing out numbers. You're throwing out numbers that you lost me. I'm with the fucking dealer now. I'm like, oh God, these guys with their, just fucking take the shrooms and leave me alone.
It was lower mid for sure. And then we added a little more throughout the day to keep it going. But my girlfriend, she told me about, she did a big trip with her friends. I'm calculated. My girlfriend went on this trip with friends. After she took a little, the high started to go away. So she said she just ate a bar or something. Just no measuring. Just ate it. And soon she was apparently speaking in like Hebrew tongues on the bed and was remembering childhood memories. And the way she described it, I would have called the ambulance. It sounded terrifying. So I think if there's any good thing I am in her life, I am the guy going like, okay, let's Google. Let's do a little research. Let's just not eat the chocolate bar.
I mean, speaking in Hebrew tongues sounds... Because Hebrew in general sounds like you're just speaking in tongues. So for that to sound outlandish.
Hebrew tongues, it probably sounds like you're choking. You're just... There's so many. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a really interesting side basket for sure. Egg freezing medication and shrooms.
Yeah, I like... This is the sinful basket. There's alcohol. There's Heineken's. There's some sort of crema situation. Maybe a tahini. I don't even know what that is.
Uh-huh.
There's some sort of marinade over here, like a teriyaki marinade, I'm guessing.
And anything that's not like super basic, that's my girlfriend is more of the chef.
Well,
I don't know what that marinade is. I'm sure I've eaten it. I have no idea what it is at all.
Yeah, it looks like that. I'm just from the backside. I'm judging from the backside here. I think it's like that. It's like a teriyaki marinade. It's like that. It's like that teriyaki marinade that has like the Jewish lettering on it, like the Hebrew English letters.
Sure.
Ugh, this guy's right into me. Tell me what it is. I'm forgetting. La Croix. You've got a plain flavored La Croix, which me is a waste of La Croix. I'm going to La Croix for the fun flavors. I want the tangerine. I want the pamplemousse. I want the kiwi strawberry. Don't come at me with your plain Jane La Croix.
I like the bubbles. That's what the seltzer is about. It's about the bubbles. Honestly, like, I like pamplemousse. I'll give you pamplemousse. I'll give you coconut. Almost everything past that, it's way too much flavor. It's too much. It feels like I'm drinking like, and it's not even the good candy. It's just it's gross. It's like a chemical version of whatever that fruit was.
Yeah,
I like plain. Little bit of lemon. Pamplemousse is good. It's not too strong. But you get like lemon pamplemousse. That just tastes like you didn't wash the dishes well enough, and there's some dish soap left over. Watermelon pamplemousse. Watermelon, my favorite fruit in the entire world, watermelon. It has never worked as a flavor.
Oh,
never.
I like the watermelon. I'm with you that some of them are really awful. Key lime, La Croix, key lime can suck my fucking dick. It can suck my fucking dick. And I've never said that on the podcast before. That's how angry I am.
Limoncillo is my eat my ass. Limoncillo eat my ass.
Yes. Limoncello can eat my ass, and key lime can suck my dick. At the same time, I will have the devil's threesome with those two flavors.
That being said, if I go somewhere and there's a new LaCroix flavor they're trying out, I'll try it. I feel like I got prune once. Is that possible? Prune?
Wow, I've never seen prune. And again, this is about you. You're being interviewed here, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I am a LaCroix influencer. Okay. I get sent a box every quarter of some new random shit that they're trying. Last time was the limb. Yeah, and last.
How can I get on that list?
I got you, bro.
Oh, wow. I feel special. I've always wanted to be that for LaCroix.
But here's the thing. You can't buy my influence, because the last one that they sent me was the limoncello, and I was just like, I'm just not gonna post. Although now I'm like saying that it can eat my ass while the key lime sucks my dick. So I do feel like I should also let them know I do love the watermelon flavor. I love pamplemousse. The tangerine is a new flavor that is tickling my taste buds. But in terms of sucking my dick and eating my ass, no. They will not be doing that. I'll take them out to dinner. They're classy. I will introduce them to my mom.
What about
coconut? I'm on the fence, which is tough to say because it's such a polarizing flavor. Because it does taste aggressively of sunscreen, but I still don't hate it.
No, me neither. Me neither. I go through waves. But listen, plain, you can't go wrong. It tastes like you're doing something. I can't just have water with a meal. It feels like you don't have a drink. But you add a little bit of seltzer to it, a little of that metallic can taste. It feels like it's a special drink. You've added something to the meal.
I just feel like, and this is quickly turning into a debate on sparkling water, which I'm here for. I just feel like if I'm going to have a brand's sparkling, plain sparkling water, it would be like if Coca-Cola started making, we're just making seltzer now. It's like, wait. No, I come here for this sugary, sweet goodness, and now you just want me to have the plain? If I'm going to have plain, I want a San Pellegrino. I would like a Perrier. I'd like a Gerolsteiner. I'd like a host of other wonderful, sparkling mineral waters. I just feel like I'm being a little bamboozled by getting the plain LaCroix.
I have so much Perrier because I work at the Comedy Cellar, and they have, I think it's Perrier, in a plastic bottle. Get that shit. I hate plastic bottles. If it's in a glass, very nice, very fancy. Plastic, give me a can any day. Now, let me just say this, because I am a LaCroix man, but there's one thing that beats it right now for me, and that is, maybe I'm getting the name wrong, is it Spindrift? Is that correct?
It is Spindrift, yes.
The lemon Spindrift is, because most seltzer companies, again, the flavor is way too strong. I don't like that shit. But Spindrift lemon, just enough. Compared to the limoncello,
yes.
I mean, Spindrift, I'll go down on a Spindrift. You know?
The thing is, Spindrift is cheating, though. Because what Spindrift does is they use actual fruit juice in the flavor. Okay? So the LaCroix, it really has the challenge. Because they're basically making that smell in a lab. Okay? To make it in a lab and make it palatable, I mean, that's doing God's work. It's literally doing God's work.
I hear you. I hear you.
No, Spindrift is delicious for sure. But I'm actually very much with you on, as I'm drinking Evian out of a plastic bottle, but using plastic bottles on sparkling drinks is an abomination. And in fact, I think I did a deep dive on this before, but you lose some of the bubbles. You lose some of the carbonation in plastic. You lose the most in plastic because it is like a little tiny bit porous, or at least it's more porous than glass is. So it doesn't hold it in as well.
Give me a can any day. I'm a can man. I hate bottles. I hate bottles. Yeah. I don't know what's better or worse for the environment, but cans. 100% cans. I want everything out of a can.
Children in Uganda have to mine that aluminum for the cans, and 1 in 8 of them die by the time they're 7. But you know what? We don't give a fuck.
Turn it into a flavor. I'll try it. Uganda children, LaCroix.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I think we should probably move on from... I don't know how we're going to one-up Ugandan children, LaCroix.
Now, look, there's pamplemousse there. I told you, I got like pamplemousse.
You do have pamplemousse there. I'm going to ding you. Can I ding you on a couple things? In general, this is not a bad fridge at all. You know, maybe you could Marie Kondo the place a little bit, organize it a little bit, maybe labels out just a tiny bit here and there. I guess that's not for you, though. That's a message for Tova, which I'm reading off of the prescription here, because you left the name. It's for God's sakes, Gianmarco. But you guys have a disgusting, vile...
Okay.
Half of an avocado, raw dog, no cover, no plastic.
Let's debate it, because I got strong feelings on this.
Hold on. Let me just set it up for the listeners at home. Front and center, just like really like at the edge of the diving board, like Greg Louganis on the edge of the diving board, ready to jump off, presenting. It is not only a half of an avocado, it's a half an avocado that is a shade of brown. You can't tell where the pit ends and the flesh begins.
Zooming so much, it's brutal.
Brown on brown on brown is disgusting. What say you, Gianmarco?
First of all, it's unfair to zoom in. If we took either of our faces and zoomed in as far as you're zooming in on that avocado, we would look horrifying. First of all, yeah, it's a little bit brown. That is just the top layer. You just do a little skim, it's gone, and it doesn't taste any different. My girlfriend and I have a big debate about this. She got the fucking $15.99, looks like an avocado cover, and you put it over, and it doesn't really fit, because obviously avocados are not the same size every time, so you barely fit it in there. Why do you need the cover? To prevent it being a little bit brown on top? It's a waste of whatever you're using, a waste of a plastic bag, waste of saran wrap, waste of having to wash an avocado cover. You don't even need a fucking avocado cover. So I say, let them loose. I'm going to use them the next day. The brown doesn't matter. It tastes just as good. I'm not going to add to the dishes. I swear, sometimes my girlfriend, she'll cook, and it's as if she was like, can I use every dish in the apartment for this one meal? I say, eliminate them all. It's fine. The air is fine. It's a little bit of color. Let it breathe, baby. Let it go.
Are you done with your TED Talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Couple things to unpack there. First of all, what is this infomercial avocado cover thing that you speak of? I don't think I've ever seen it.
Imagine like how do I describe it? It's shaped like, it's got a little bit of wrapping around the edges, and it's shaped like an avocado. You know, an Aristotelian avocado would be like a perfect kind of a teardrop shape with right. A perfect
right,
incredibly Aristotelian in that example. I don't even know if I'm saying the word right, and then a pit. And so ideally, you're able to take the half of the avocado and just put this covering and have it wrap around so it covers just the surface area needed for a half-eaten avocado.
That's the craziest, most unhinged thing I've ever heard in my life. That is a sign that our empire is coming to an end. Like, years from now, they'll be like, what were some of the signs that they were just, they had it too good? Oh, well, they started inventing things like avocado covers to cover half of the avocado for the fridge.
What do you do? What are you doing with your avocado? You putting it in a plastic bag?
I'm glad you asked.
Please.
I'm glad you asked, even though it seems like you asked rhetorically because you just wanted to shit on me with the answer that you knew I had. Yes, I use saran wrap. I will wrap plastic wrap around it like a normal human being, and then I'll put it in the fridge.
That saran wrap is such a waste. I don't know if you've seen, we had record high temperatures this year in Arizona. It was 110 degrees. And you know, we're both going to have to be in Arizona doing touring at different points in our lives. And when I'm there and it's burning, I will know I'm not responsible for it because I let the avocado breathe. When you're there, I hope you wear a winter jacket and you go, I deserve this because a little bit of brown on the avocado scared me. It is fine. It is. I hate the saran wrap. you have, here's the thing with Saran Wrap. The fucking container for the Saran Wrap, we've had the same box for, what, 3 years now? It's so broken to pieces that you try to put it on the sharp edge and it doesn't quite go and the box is broken. And then you have all this wasted and it's all stuck to each other and you barely get it over the avocado and it doesn't stick. It's awful. Just let it go.
Okay. You know what? I'm willing to give you that one.
Thank you.
I will give you that one. However, leaving a cut onion in the fridge with no cover on it is the most egregious thing that I could imagine in a refrigerator. Because, fine, you're saving the elephants, you're saving the whales, you're not using the plastic. You are ruining all of every time you open the fridge, it smells like fucking onions. All the food is going to have onion smell on it. I understand that putting the plastic on the avocado is merely an aesthetic thing. And I understand that the meat will taste the same once you skim off that top thing. But an onion causes, it's like an atomic bomb of smell that has gone off in your fridge. And, you know, it almost makes me wish that I didn't invite you on this podcast, Gianmarco.
Oh, I'm sorry. The beautiful smell of an onion perturbs you. I love the smell of an onion. Oh, the onion's going to make what? The meat seasoned with its scent? The onion is going to go with the meat at the end of the meal. The onion's going to go with the avocado. This is called seasoning. I'd rather it smell like onion than smell like, you know, half the other things in this fridge. For me, if I had a car and I don't have a car, if they had an onion-scented air freshener, I would choose it. It's a good smell. I like onions. That's why I eat that. I'm not even going to eat that onion. That's just there. That's just there to set the tone of the fridge.
I love it. That's your little Arm & Hammer thing. You put an onion.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Wow. I mean, your defenses are so spirited that I have a tough time fighting them. I'm also realizing you have LaCroix on every floor of the fridge, in every door, on every level. I mean, I really do think that you should be an influencer for them.
I'm drinking two a day, if I'm being honest. Two LaCroix a day, minimum. And then one Perrier at the cellar.
And you got the La Colombe cold brew here.
That's more my girlfriend. I'm a hot coffee guy. She's an iced coffee gal. And yeah, that's her.
What's this nourishing people planet thing? What's this hippie juice in a box?
I gotta imagine that that's either like a broth or it's like an almond milk, but definitely girlfriend. I'm the oat milk. I'm oat milk boy. She's almond or coconut milk.
I mean, this milk or broth or whatever the hell it is, they sound like they're saving the planet. They're saving the world with this broth. Somehow by boiling cows down, they're saving the world. May I just read a passage off of the side?
Please.
At So Delicious, we believe in nourishing people and the planet. That's why we joined the B Corp movement. Whatever the hell that is. We're proud to be a force for good by paying fair wages to our employees, committing to reduce our environmental impact and more. Follow our journey. They're boiling cows in vats. They're literally Macbething poor cows. And then they write this on the side of their broth like they're fucking, Mother Teresa.
It clearly says nourishing people, not nourishing cows. It makes no claim to be helping the cows. So I think that's an honest company, and that's why we bought that product.
Again, all in all, very very good fridge. My compliments to Tova.
Wait, now upper, I want to just say this upper left, this yellow thing, this is a perfect example. We live pretty close to Chinatown. Mm. And this is some kind of, I don't even know.
Oh.
It's like a bee. I mean, it's long. It's long and it's thick. And it's a beet or, some kind of something. And we made it for a dish once and it was good. But because I don't even know what it is, We finally threw it away after having it for a very long time. It's so foreign to me. I feel like I wouldn't know if it had gone bad or if it's pickled, so it doesn't go. I think it's pickled probably. But we got to a point where Tova said to me, as she does, she goes, "Can I throw this out?" And I go, you know, okay, fine. 6 months have passed. You're right.
you're like, I don't think it's racist anymore if we throw it out.
I just don't even know what to. And I'm sure it's great, and I'm sure it'll go great in the right dish. But all I make every morning, pretty much, I make an omelet with the avocado and the onions and things. And I'm like, I'm never going to use it. But that was in the fridge for an ungodly amount of time.
So you guys, for you guys listening and not seeing the fridge, it's basically like a log. It looks like it's a log of polenta. That's what I thought it was.
Sure.
It's yellow and it's in a, you know, clear. I think I've seen this in like Asian markets too, because I do think it's like suspended in some sort of liquid, right? Is it like, is there a liquid in there? Yeah. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm going to ask Jessica Gao, who was just on the show and we were talking Chinese food. She would know what that is.
Like, it's right next to the pickles, which, because I just grew up with pickles, you know, it's not, even if those pickles were there for 3 months, I'd be like, oh, it's okay, it's a pickle. But because I don't know what this other thing is, and it's newer to me,
yeah,
I feel more hesitant, and that's not good.
No, I think it's okay. I think you gave it a shot. Don't be tough on yourself. Actually, we always go to commercial break, and I do an interstitial about something that was seen in the fridge and mentioned in the fridge that we were a little confused about. And guess what? We just found your interstitial.
There you go.
The mystery of the weird yellow thing in Gianmarco's fridge has been solved. It was a yellow pickled radish or daikon called danmuji, which is commonly found in Korean Chinese cuisine. It's a favorite banchan or side dish amongst Koreans. Danmuji is also commonly enjoyed in Japanese cuisine, where it is referred to as takwan. Most of danmuji you'll find in a grocery store today are bright yellow from artificial food coloring. If you want to make it at home, I suggest finding a recipe that uses turmeric as the coloring agent. They are out there. Also, LaCroix, I think you found your next flavor.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, so let's get to the questions that I ask every guest. What is your earliest food memory?
I think it's got to be something about ramen.
Really?
But like the cheap ramen, like the one in the bag. Mm-hmm. Not cup of noodles, because it was in the bag. And I do remember pretty viscerally, my mom would always make me, my parents were divorced, and both of them would make me ramen. But one day my mom was out and my stepdad was cooking, and he's not a cook. And he was making the ramen, and this was at a very contentious point in our lives, you know. I was probably 4, and I went into the kitchen because I was worried he was making a different flavor of ramen than I liked. And he was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing in here?" And I said, "Oh, I just checking the ramen." And he said, "Just for that, I'm making the flavor you don't like."
Holy fuck.
Yeah, we're good now. But I remember that viscerally as like earliest food memory, and earliest being like, no, I think this is fucked up. I think what you did, that there was no crime and there is a punishment. And looking back, he was probably insecure. He was probably stressed. I look like his wife's ex. I'm checking on his performance as a man cooking.
Hold on.
Maybe my mom's having a tough time.
You're the four-year-old version of the wife's ex. You're like the cutest version of the ex.
Even worse. Even worse. Oh, my God. A cuter version of the last guy that fucked my wife. That's stressful. That cannot be easy. I have sympathy looking back. He shouldn't have done it, but I understand.
I mean, either you're in an abusive relationship with your father-in-law, or you are the most glass half full person I've ever met, because you're like, yeah, he beat me because I was looking at the ramen, but it taught me about ethics. It taught me that that's a wrong thing. So it was cool. It was a teaching moment.
Listen, at least he gave me food. There's a different version. He didn't give me food. He could have poured the boiling water on me. He could have hit me with the pot. Well, I got a slightly different flavor of ramen. And you know what? I'm not picky, and maybe that's why.
Amazing. What is your death row meal? Let's say you weren't as accommodating a four-year-old, and you ended up taking your chopsticks from the ramen and just going at it and stabbing your father-in-law in his carotid artery. And now he's dead. For the first time in history, they put a four-year-old on death row. What is your death row meal?
Well, look, if it was four, I have a fork in the road when it comes to this answer, because on one hand, I'm like, give me fucking McDonald's. Let me feel nostalgia. Big fry, a quarter pounder, multi-patty, and a fucking cold Diet Coke. But it's more about those fries. Like, there's part of me that's like,
I like that you're still watching your weight right before you get executed.
I've always liked the taste of Diet Coke. Even when I was a kid, I hated sodas were too sweet for me. I never had Dr. Pepper. I never did Mountain Dew. I was always a Diet Coke boy. Thank God. I think it worked out in the long run. But I like Diet Coke. So there's one hand I go McDonald's. Let me feel nostalgia. Let me feel the warmth of those fries. Let me just pour those fries in my mouth one last time. That feeling of just pouring hot, salty fries in my mouth. Then, oh, man, it gets harder the older you get, because all, you know, food, I think, is the only joy you get as you get older.
Mm.
The ramen, but like a nice ramen. I want it with meats and tofu and mushrooms and whatever the fuck was in my fridge earlier.
You're gonna go for the ratatouille moment, for the moment that your father-in-law showed you no love.
Yeah, getting back at him. But like complex, and I want to slurp. I want to just slurp long noodles, and I grew up like I was an anime kid. And in anime, they always, like, when they would get ramen on the street, they would pick up the bowl. And I still do this, despite no one thinking it's appropriate. I want to slurp it. And I want to get the chopsticks and like kind of, like, shovel it into my mouth from the bowl.
Yeah.
Make it spicy. And that really does sound like probably the textures I want. Because I think about food. I think about texture a lot in terms of that's what I really like, in the slurp and the long and the.
You want comfort food is what the common denominator is there, because there's nothing more comforting than McDonald's French fries. They are a perfect food, and a hearty bowl of ramen is hard to beat.
I worry if I really had my druthers. I don't know how this works. I mean, do you know the actual rules? Is the last meal a real thing they do for all prisoners on death row? And how accommodating are they?
Right. Can you be like, I want Chef Morimoto flown in to do an omakase dinner?
Sure. I'm sure a lot of people get that request a lot. I feel like it's probably like, can I have a filet mignon? And they get it from TGI Fridays. I just have to believe they're not going above and beyond right at this moment. The whole prison system is completely broken. But right at the end, they really nail that last meal part.
But I do like the idea of like, a murderous child rapist who's like, I've always appreciated the food of Thomas Keller. Please send me the French Laundry's tasting menu.
I worry what I would do is I would try to do too many things. I would be like, a filet and the McDonald's and the ramen, and it wouldn't be good together, and I would regret it. And the reason I say that is because I recently went to a brunch spot. I always try to go to like one good brunch when I'm on the road. And it was a Bloody Mary make your own. And they had like pickled everything, like a buffet of pickled everything. And of course, and this is what I do, I was like, I must try every one of these things. And suddenly I got this glass overflowing with like pickled broccoli. Why? Am I better for knowing that I don't like that? No. But it was just overpouring with pickled everything, and it was way too much, and I tried everything, but at what cost?
Right.
At what cost at not enjoying the drink for like $45? That's the other thing. It was expensive, so I was like, I'm going to beat the house. Like, I'm going to, you know, some people, you're making money. For me, you're losing money on this venture.
Right, right.
And, I worry that's what the trap I would fall into.
You're like, bring me some pickled foie gras. You're going to lose money on this one. By the way, you did make me think a pickled broccoli is not that appetizing, but I haven't seen that very often. I do see pickled cauliflower often, and I don't like it. I think now I'm just realizing I really don't love pickled cauliflower because the florets just kind of break off and turn into like sand in your mouth with vinegared sand. I'm not into it.
It's hard to know, and it's a balance. We have a pickle place near here in New York, and like pickled mango, delicious. Delicious pickled mango. Yeah. It's always a risk. It's always a risk, and I like pickled flavors. I like spicy pickles.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, oh, they don't sell this in stores for a reason. Sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, this is why they don't have this on shelves. Because it fucking sucks.
Fuck you and your pickled kiwi.
Just you saying that, I was like, oh, I want to try some pickled kiwi. But I don't know. Could be wrong.
I mean, mango is definitely one that I would not think would be good, and it's fucking amazing.
So good.
Oh, would that's water like a very water? Indian thing. Indians love pickling mango.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe in stereotypes, but if you say so. All Indians like pickled mangoes. Okay. Not touching that.
It's a new slur for Indian people. Those goddamn mango picklers. It's like a real deep cut. You have to be racist, but also know like high-end foodie culture in Indian culinary traditions. What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
We whenever I say we, I'm just my girlfriend and I, the single unit.
Tova, we know her date of birth. We have the prescription in the fridge.
We went to, I like healthy. I have, we went to like a farm to table restaurant in, somewhere in New York. I forget. Steel Stacks is the venue. But it's just like a cool New York little town, and there was a farm to table place where you were allowed to say this. You could go beef and beets, and the chef would concoct a dish like Iron Chef style involving those two ingredients, like a magical world where you could just say kind of what you were kind of in the mood for. And they would create a dish based around that. It's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I don't know the name of the restaurant. It was the greatest meal. I was also stoned out of my mind.
Way to bury the lead.
I know how to feel happy when I'm stoned. And very much like food when I'm stoned, I like eat it like a body experience. And sometimes honestly, it feels like a waste to have a really good meal if not, I'm not at least 5 milligrams stoned. Because this meal, oh my God, it was one of the best of my life.
I like to think that you were so high that they don't do that thing where you just tell them two ingredients, but you were just so stoned. You were like, I want beets and beef. And they're like, sir, we don't. And you're like, beets and beef. And they're like, okay, guys, he's being unruly. Just fucking make him something with beef and beets. And let's get him out of here.
I would buy it. But this was the first restaurant I've ever felt, oh, I want to bring a friend on this journey, hour and a half, 2 hour car ride for this meal.
Wait, I would love to find the name just because I want to give them a shout out. It would be really nice to them.
Bolette. B-O-L-E-T-E.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is badass. Oh, this looks very, very good.
It's got the $4 signs on Google, so you know. Ooh, look at that. You go to the website, it's just pictures of these giant fucking mushrooms. I love mushrooms, man. I was at the grocery store the other day. They had on sale, it was called lobster mushrooms, and it's like $35 a pound. And I would never buy that because I don't, you know what, you've tried those?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Oh my God, it would be such a waste in the shitty omelet I make in the morning. But, ooh, I want to
No, lobster mushrooms are okay for that because they're not like super delicate. They're kind of meaty, they're nice. I think that in an omelet, it's a nice little decadent omelet you made yourself.
Yeah, Bolette, best meal of my life, hands down.
I'm glad we gave them their shout out. They need their comeuppance. Although it seems like they're doing just fine.
It was so good. I want to go back. I've forgotten about this place.
What's the best low-end meal you've ever had? This could be a street taco, a slice of pizza.
Man, growing up in Potomac, it's tough to tell when you're younger, your palate is so unrefined. But like for me, just like there's this place called Potomac Pizza, and I would get cheesy fries. And I would just smother them in Tabasco. Oh, my God. This was back. There's a certain age. I'm very health conscious, weight conscious. Now I feel like my cholesterol's high, and I'm cholesterol conscious. But you'll never be able to experience the joy of when you didn't even think about that shit at all.
Right.
At all. And I would eat the tinfoil tray. Like, you know, when you got it to go, it would come in this tin foil that I think once I tried to microwave and almost started a fire. But man, that feeling of just stuffing those spicy, and I would have two Diet Cokes just to get through it. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't even go like, oh, I don't have to have all the cheese in this. I just fucking ate it. That's the best. That's the best, man. I think of all the fast food. I tell Tova all the time. I didn't grow up. There were no Taco Bells where I lived. So I never got to experience what it's like as a kid to be like eating as many tacos from Taco Bell as I want.
Yeah.
And that's honestly partially why I get stoned. And don't worry. I eat fine. I eat a lot. But I know you were worried. I just feel like people are always like, uh-oh, eating disorder. I have the appropriate amount of eating disorder. But when I get stoned enough, I think something that part of me that is like, you know, that thing of with little kids, the marshmallow experiment. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Where is it like get one a day or get all of it at once?
They leave a marshmallow on a table in front of a kid. And this has been debunked, obviously, at this point. But you leave a marshmallow and then you say, I'm going to bring a second marshmallow in a bit, but don't eat that marshmallow. And then they leave the room. And the theory is that, like, you could tell who has more willpower, more ability to make a good decision by the kid who would wait longer for that second marshmallow, as opposed to the kid who, like, was like, oh, and then would eat it right away. They couldn't wait. Right. I think I would have passed the marshmallow. I would have waited too long. In fact, I would have died of starvation.
I would have jumped on the test taker from behind, give them a rear naked choke, and say, bring out the whole fucking bag, bitch. Let's go.
Absolutely. That's the third kind of kid.
That's the kid who starts a food podcast.
Yes. But if I'm stoned, I feel like I'd be like, ooh, I just want that marshmallow. And I enjoy my life more, and I enjoy food more. I'm able to like not think about the future for a second.
Right. What about drunk? Do you have a favorite drunk food?
I honestly don't drink that often, but I am like a tequila margarita, and I just feel like that goes well, like frozen margarita, cold margarita with just some good old Mexican food, just some good. I like crunchy tacos. I'd rather have a cheap crunchy taco than like a nice soft taco. Give me just
wow
cheap, give me that shitty meat.
I don't get a crunchy taco, to tell you the truth. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I take one bite out of that thing, and suddenly I'm fucking managing a cascade of falling crumbs all over my fucking plate, my lap, everything. It's impossible to do it without. I don't like being a messy eater, and there's no way to eat that and not be a messy eater. It's just impossible.
Yeah, it's... I mean, messy eating, it's just like but do you enjoy a messy, like when I'm alone, I'd like to messy eat. If you're in public, it becomes a fucking, you know, you're embarrassed, napkins, blah, blah, blah. But if I'm alone, you should see me with rotisserie chicken when I'm alone. I am amazed. This is how I know my girlfriend and I are close, is like she's seen me eat a rotisserie chicken with my hands, with my, I mean, it's really embarrassing, but a lot of times when I'm home and I go to eat, I just take my shirt off. I go, I'm not even going to pretend like I'm not going to get food on my shirt. I'm going shirtless for this rotisserie chicken meal.
Wow. Amazing.
And I like that. I think food is meant to be. I went to, what is it, where you see like the Knights of the Round Table like do a jousting match?
Oh, Medieval Times.
I did that once in high school, and like they don't give you silverware, and you're supposed to eat with your hands. And do I fucking love it. Fuck forks. Fuck chopsticks. I want to eat with my hands. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this Western bullshit of not eating with your hands, of not slurping it out of the bowl. Why not? You know how much soup people leave because they can't get it with their stupid fucking spoon? Pour it in your mouth. Enjoy life. Be a pig.
You're an animal.
We're genetically this different from a pig. Be a pig. Be a pig.
I mean, that was the weirdest Jewish advice I've gotten thus far in this podcast. Be a pig.
Oh, I love eating things with my hands. I love eating things with my hands. This is really gross. This is when I was a kid.
Grosser than the soliloquy you just gave us about fucking slurping like a hog in a trough is how we should all be eating.
I'm going to go there. When I was in school and they would give us goldfish as like the snack at the fucking private school, that's all they could give us was fucking goldfish, those cheap motherfuckers. The best part of goldfish is when you reached your finger in your fucking mouth and you scooped out whatever goldfish mush had been caught in your cheeks. That was the essence of the goldfish.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just perfect, just beautiful. And then you chugged down an orange juice and you felt like a man even though you were eight. That's what I liked. That's what I liked.
That was the soul of the goldfish.
It is funny. Talking about this, I'm like, honestly, the fridge and the thing, and you know this, obviously, this you do this podcast, but I'm like, oh, this is intimate in a different way. I think intimacy in my mind, it's always like, it's about like sex or like right. maybe it's like, you know, bathroom intimacy. You use the bathroom with the door open. Food and the consumption of food is very intimate. There's a lot of things that we do in private.
Yeah.
And when you have a loved one, they know they've seen you. The same way like my siblings have seen me eat probably in a way that only nowadays it would be like a partner would see me eat.
I mean, right before we started recording, I bought a big like tub of yogurt and just ate like half of a tub of yogurt, which I've never had that much yogurt in my life, out of the fucking huge, like it wasn't a single serving one, it was a big one. Like yeah. a disgusting yogurt monster. I went off on it, and you know what? Yeah. Would I share that with my audience of haughty-taughty foodies if it wasn't for you? Probably not. So you see, your being vulnerable is making me be vulnerable.
I've always wanted to do, I don't think it would be fun, but I do want to do it. You do a restaurant where the lights are off, where there's complete darkness. And like, it's a little horrifying. You're like, what if there's a cockroach in my meal? What if it's moldy? But like, I like that challenge. I like that. I want to like, with my hands and get it on my face. And who gives a fuck? No one sees. I just want to eat with people. In darkness,
you're a fucking 5-year-old. You are a 5-year-old trapped in an adult's body. Is what you are. Is what I'm realizing here.
Yeah,
I'm like, what's your best high end meal?
There's one place I got to say whatever I wanted to eat, and they made it for me.
Okay.
I mean, I don't eat chips really, but when I would eat a salt and vinegar chips, oh my God. But the pain, if you were out in public, that you couldn't just tear open the bag and fucking lick it. Lick the inside of the bag in its entirety.
Wait, what? You lick the inside of the bag?
Oh, you got to get the last salt and vinegar. You got to get all of that vinegar and salt on your tongue.
You're going to get like lead poisoning.
Good. I'll die with a smile on my face. He died doing what he loved for real. Licking the Utz chip bag.
Oh, of all the bags, the Utz, the least pleasant sounding name. Utz.
Salt and vinegar, the best chip.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
I don't watch a ton of that. To me, I feel pain. I don't understand people who watch food things because I see it and I feel like, ooh, I want that and I can't.
Mm.
It's the same way.
You know
what? I don't understand. I don't understand strip clubs and I don't understand burlesque because you're going like, oh, wow. And then you go home and then you go, why feel extra longing in your loins or your stomach? To me, food shows and strip clubs are like the same thing. You're like, am I teasing myself? For what purpose? So I don't get either. And to me, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Interesting. Actually, it's not a bad theory. I recently had lunch with Dan Cutforth, who created the show Is It Cake? And he was telling me that the reason it became part of the conceit of coming up with the show was that every other food show, like you're saying, you're just watching other people enjoy the food. You're not participating in it. You're just an observer. But Is It Cake? Everyone participates because everyone at home gets to guess alongside the contestants on which one is cake and which one's not cake. And you're not losing anything by being at home, which is such a genius thing. I never even thought about that. It's like basically taking that the anger that you have and being like, well, okay, but how can I turn that into a show? Which I thought was really smart.
I did eye candy on Quibi, which was basically the cake show as well. I did an episode where I had to guess if something was cake or real. And we won. It's not that good. The cake was fine.
Well, that's the thing. The taste of the cake is kind of secondary. The primary thing is guessing which one is actually cake.
I hear that.
All right. I'm gonna put in here that since you don't have a favorite celebrity food personality, it's going to be No, fuck you. It's Dan Adude. It's Dan Adude. Just say it's Dan Adude.
Jake Cohen has done my podcast. You should have Jake Cohen on. He is a he's Jewish and he's very he loves weed. He makes these amazing Jewish.
Hold on,
dishes.
You're not picking me for some guy whose two things are he likes weed and he's Jewish. That's what Jake Cohen has on me. Fuck Jake Cohen. That's what I'm saying. How about that?
Jake Cohen, he's great. He's funny. We have his book, Jewish, I think it's called. And we made a babka, I think a babka, but like a savory babka. And it was delicious. And Britney Spears shared one of his videos once. And he's blowing up. Look him up.
Yeah, Jake, he's huge. Like, he's got like a million followers on Instagram.
And his videos, they cause me pain. It's like, it's beautiful, like squeezing garlic that's been cooked. Ooh, garlic, just cooked garlic. And I see it and I feel a visceral pain of, I want that now, and I can't have it.
Oh, what is your desert island food? So now you're trapped on a desert island. There's one food you're going to eat for the rest of your life. You will never get tired of it. What is it?
Man, that's tough. You know, I've always wondered, if I was on desert island alone, like, would I care about my looks? Like, would I want to, like, be in shape for myself? Because I feel like I'd want to, like, climb the tree and go for a jog, I guess. So, oh, that is really fucking tough. Sometimes with these questions, you got to be like, remember, you don't have to do this. You can just say something. People do this all the time. You ask them a question, they go like, oh, I don't know what the actual, well, it doesn't matter what the actual fucking answer is.
Right. This is not actually happening.
And that's literally what's happened to me right in this moment.
Well, now we all know this is just a throwaway answer. You just prefaced your answer by, this answer is not, doesn't mean shit.
I think like I'm going to need something salty and I'm trying to eat less red meat. I don't eat that much red meat to begin with. But if we're talking like one thing to get you through, it's got to be a protein.
It's not, okay, you're taking it too literal. You're taking a little too literally.
No,
you're
no, like, but I don't mean survival. I just mean like I need that taste of like, rawr, like real digging into something and okay. juices and salty. So like mm-hmm. I got to go with like a really good steak or if we're talking something that's preserved, like honestly, like what do you call the meat that comes like in a dick shape and you chop slices?
What like a that? Sausage?
Yeah, but you'd put it on a charcuterie board.
Like a soppressata type thing? Like a...
Yeah.
Aren't you Italian? You just described soppressata as that thing that looks like it's in a dick tube and you cut and put on charcuterie?
I think it's either that or a really good bread, a really good challah. I don't eat a lot of challah, but like when I do, I'm like, oh, what a amazing fluffy...
That's a good one. That's actually a very good one because I've never had challah and been like, nah, I've had enough. Like it's always a treat.
Yeah, and
it's
I
always
could
very delicious.
One of those two. If I could have two, it'd be those two together.
Challah and some dick meat.
And some dick meat. And what? Then that yellow thing that was in the fridge. I go, you know what? I'm on a desert island. I can finally figure out what this is about, how to eat it correctly, and I think I feel good about that.
Yeah, you'll have the time to devote to it. Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
First, let me just say I pride myself on being very flexible with food. I there's almost nothing that I'll say no to compared to my girlfriend who, my God, the pickiness, the allergies and the kosher and the all these things and the cilantro aversion.
Poor Tova. Poor Tova just froze her eggs, went through the process, and now she's being shamed by you. Tova, you can do better, Tova.
If the cilantro version is hereditary, we shouldn't be procreating at all. What kind of life is this to have the cilantro version?
Leave poor Tova out of this. What food you can't stand eating? Poor Tova, she stocks the fridge when you're on the road. She gets the most ethical bone broth money can buy. And now... You were almost done with this podcast and you just wanted to like just shame her a little bit before we leave. Tova, this guy is low Tova. That's a deep cut.
That means no good, right?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I know what Tova's name means. Took me 3 years to remember. I hate dry cheese. I hate dry cheese. Any cheese board, I'll have the brie, but I'll get tired of the brie. I hate dry cheese. I don't get it. I don't get what people are tasting. It tastes like chalk. It tastes like the even further than dry. It destroys moisture. I hate it. No desire for cheddar. Blech.
I was a little confused at first. Did you mean like, I was like, does he mean a cheese that's been left in the fridge and has crusted over and is dry? No, you mean just a hard cheese.
No hard cheese. I don't want any hard cheese. I would rather die than eat hard cheese.
First of all, the fact that you call it dry cheese, let me just tell you, the hard cheese community is not missing you, okay? You don't deserve a good hard cheese. What is this fucking dry cheese that they put next to my dick meat that they cut up?
I hate it. And like the fact that like Tova loves cheese and she's like a little bit lactose intolerant or whatever. And she like goes like, oh, I need the cheese. And it's amazing when someone has that need where you're like, that is disgusting to me. The thought of needing it.
Do you let poor Tova eat the cheese in peace? Or do you stand there over her and be like, I can't fucking believe you're eating that disgusting dry cheese.
I'm buying it for her. And I don't even, and I have to go, feel bad for anyone, feel bad for the grocery clerk, where I go, where do you have your dry cheese? And they go, what the fuck? I imagine grocery store people totally can tell as I approach them that I am a bad boyfriend who was sent there by his girlfriend to get very specific things and does, Tova calls it, she does, this is have you heard this phrase? Weaponized incompetence.
Ooh, that's a good phrase.
It's the claim that I'm not only incompetent because I'm incompetent, but I've weaponized it. I've used, rather than become better, I'm bad because I don't want to be better. As opposed to genetically, I'm predisposed to being stupid. And right. And this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of how it's not weaponized. I didn't come on here and weaponize calling it dry cheese. That's how stupid I am. It's not weaponized. It's deep incompetence in my soul. I didn't do this to like, I didn't gain anything by being stupid on this podcast. I am stupid. So, and by the way, I'm buying her the hard cheese, and she gets to eat all of it because I don't want any of it. So lucky Tova. I wish she hated watermelon, and then I could eat all the watermelon. What a blessing that would be if she hated watermelon. But no, I got to buy two boxes of the watermelon or two things because I know she's getting in there. So lucky Tova. Lucky Tova.
Tova, please reach out to me on Instagram and we can get you help. There's a lot of services that we can point you towards.
I love your belief that Tova is listening to the podcast that I'm a guest on. Tova goes, oh, another podcast? Can't wait to listen to that one. Can't wait to listen to that one.
I mean, she's pretty front and center in this one. I feel like she should listen to it.
I'll tell her.
Last question. This is my favorite question. What is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
Restaurant pet peeves. I go to diners a lot on the road. Try to keep my life just barely livable. I will go to a diner, and that's where I like to sit there for a while. And I'll tip beyond the 20% because I'm there longer. I'll tip 25-30%. I want coffee refills. I want coffee refills. I want it so constantly. I love nothing more than you're at a diner. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the like less healthy diners where they're on top of it. Sometimes it's like the nice diners, they treat it like a restaurant. And I'm like, no, coffee's different. Coffee in the morning is different than whatever other drink. I want to see a woman who looks like she's been, or a man, but who's been working there for 40 years. 40 years. She's going to die and her hands are going to be in this shape because she's been holding these coffee things for so long. Walking around, one black handle for regular, one orange. I'm never going to touch the decaf, but she's walking around and it's boiling hot. And that's her job. That's her whole job is just to refill your coffee.
Right.
And you take a sip. You take one sip and she comes over and she refills. That's what I like. And when it doesn't happen, you know what? If I have to wait an hour for the free refill, it wasn't free. It was one free. It wasn't free refills. It was one free refill because that's how frequently you came along. So that is my biggest pet peeve. Free refills, coffee, you got to do it.
That's a really good one. And it's funny. It's just like you put such a smile on my face because I didn't even think that that is one of the unsung, like, wonderful things of being at a diner is just the constant IV drip of coffee. And it's true. The lady or the guy who's just like their job is to just carry two buckets of scalding liquid and just like try to pour it all over the table and not get it on the people. It is a real delight. I just went to a diner recently with my family, and their coffee game was on point, and I don't appreciate it enough. So thank you for bringing that up, because now I'm going to appreciate it.
And look, if your coffee game is not on point, you can't give me a tiny fucking cup, because some of these places, they give you a tiny cup, and I go, okay, but the refills better be flowing, because if you're giving me a tiny cup and you're not giving me a refill, what the fuck are we doing here? I need to be awake. I am sad. I am depressed. I have to listen to two headlining sets back. I'm so miserable. Give me my coffee, please. I have to go. I have to make clips. I have to go, oh, is this crowd work clip funny enough? It is a nightmare. Give me my coffee, please.
Oh my God, dude, I'm dying. I just did that yesterday, and it's like there's no worse place in life than a comedian having to look over his set for fucking clips.
Brutal, man. It's brutal.
So good. Gianmarco, you know, it's always a crapshoot when I have a guest whom I've never really hung out with before, who I don't know very well. You never know how it's going to go. This has been so delightful, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are going to be shocked that this is probably the first time we're having a conversation. So it's a testament to how warm and fuzzy you are, and that right away I had this feeling like, oh, we can fuck with each other and this is going to go great. So thank you for joining us, and tell the people where they can find you.
Find me everywhere. It's my name, at Gianmarco Cerezi. I'm on every platform. It's Gianmarco with a G. It's Italian. And then listen to my podcast, The Downside with Gianmarco Cerezi. It's a place where guests come on and they can complain the way I have about the coffee. So please check it out, The Downside, wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing. Thank you, buddy.
Peace.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.